Welcome to the DSJNP.com podcast, guys. This week, WrestleCast, episode 12. We're starting up another podcast. DSJNP is branching out, everybody. It's called Second Shift, so please take a listen to it. It's mainly for the abroad listeners, the European, the Australian listeners, anybody that's interested in wrestling. It's called Second Shift Wrestling Podcast. So take a listen. Second Shift being the different hour of the day other than the United States. See how funny that is. See how clever we are. We're clever here at the DSJNP.com. All right. Please follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/DSJNP. Please like us. Let us know how we're doing. Email us, DSJNP.com@gmail.com. Please, Chevy will read your email every week on the air. Let us know how you're feeling. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great week.
Man, I gotta call bullshit on that page thing, Chevy. Complete bullshit.
All right, guys, welcome to DSJNP.com podcast. First thing this week, we got Chevy Baker. RMH is going to be joining us a little bit later, and so is Heavy Set. So a little bit later, they're going to join in whenever they can. We're going to go over Extreme Rules, Keep, Toss, Improve, Character in the Details, Commentators Say the Dumbest Shit, which actually this week, they were actually pretty good. Best of the Week, Network Watch, What Are You Watching on the Network? That's our new segment this week. And Free For All, anything you want to talk about? I know I got three things I want to talk about. Chevy and I got a lot to talk about earlier today, but the network got into a nice heated discussion. It was a lot of fun, though. So let's go to Baker, man. What do you think about Extreme Rules?
It was actually better than I thought it was going to be honest. The one point that I actually thought pre-show was going to be better was going to be the Bray Cena match, was the one match I was going to look forward to, but that was actually the letdown for me in the end.
I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that was a letdown. That Wii TLC match was actually really fun. I'm tired of it now. I don't want to see it on. I feel like they wasted 10 minutes of my life on Raw this week about it. But it was really good. I really enjoyed the Wii TLC match. What was your favorite spot in it?
What, the Wii TLC?
Yeah.
I thought it was all right. I'm glad it was on the pre-show, because I think that's what the pre-show was meant for, not just to put Dolph Ziggler on every month. But,
poor Dolph.
But no, that was a good match, but unfortunately there's signs that that's going to go for another month.
Yeah, it is. It's probably going to go back to Payback.
To be honest, the whole show looks like that's going to be going for another month.
Yep, it does. Chevy, what do you think, man? What do you think about Extreme Rules?
I thought it was better than last year's Extreme Rules.
I agree. I was talking to you watching last year's Extreme Rules, and I was asking you, I was like, what was this and who did that and what happened? And you were like, yeah, this is everything that happened. It sucked. I was like, you're right, it did suck. So what was your favorite match?
What do you think was my favorite match?
All right. I believe the Shield versus Evolution was your favorite match?
Yeah, anyone who says other needs to learn about wrestling.
Yeah, they did kind of lay it down there. All right, so we'll go over them real quick. Just real quick go over because we got plenty of other stuff to talk about this week. The Wii TLC was really good. I enjoyed it. I'm guessing, Chevy, you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was decent.
Yeah. There were a couple of good spots in it. A lot of tables being broken. A lot of stuff being set up that was obviously meant to be set up. It was a lot of fun. Again, I'm with Baker. I don't know where they're going to go with this, but it's continued again on Raw this week. Next match was Cesaro versus Swagger versus RVD. Funny thing about this match is the commentators didn't seem to know that it was an elimination match, and neither did I, because no one said it was an elimination match, because, you know, I listened to the commentators. And as soon as Jack Swagger was pinned, everyone in the crowd kind of went silent, and then the commentators kind of went, oh, yes, this is an elimination match, guys. Yes, so.
Don't think even they knew, did they?
Because I don't think they did.
Cesaro broke up a pin and that, and they were going on about, oh, Cesaro doesn't want to lose, or whatever, didn't they? When he broke up a pin.
Yeah, I don't think they knew. I really don't think they knew. Chevy, what do you say?
I don't know. I knew it was. I had seen it announced earlier in the week. I hadn't really noticed that.
You go back and watch it. You didn't notice the crowd went just, they went, like the crowd was kind of freaked out that RVD pinned Swagger. Like they were, you know what I mean? Baker, you saw that, right?
Yeah, well, like I said, with Cesaro breaking up the pin, if that was an elimination match, why would you bother? Then that makes it one-on-one.
Exactly. So it just doesn't.
I don't think the crowd knew what to do at any point during anything that was going on with this feud.
It's a good
because
point.
Because we don't know if we're supposed to be cheering or booing for Cesaro.
Same thing goes with, I don't think the crowd knew a lot what to do with a lot of the stuff that happened. The last two crowds we've watched on TV have been really not great crowds.
Again, they had great shows, to be honest.
Well, we'll get to Raw in a minute, but the Extreme Rules was actually pretty good. I actually liked it. The next one up was Bad News Barrett versus Big E. I thought they put a pretty good match on. It didn't flow very well. Big E's kind of slow. Bad News Barrett's kind of fast. I mean, it just. I don't even know. Anybody got anything to say about this?
It's purely about the Bad News gimmick, isn't it, really?
Yeah, really. I mean, Big E just.
The best match out of Big E that we've seen in a while.
That's true. He keeps doing that spear off the side of the ring, which everyone seems to like.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know where to go with this. I hope they're done with that, definitely. And then it was the big match that everyone seemed to like, Shield versus Evolution. Shield put on a performance with them going old school out into the crowd, moving stuff, beating up each other. Seth Rollins jumping down from the top of a awning way and to go like the people, that's where the people go to get their food and stuff. Seth Rollins climb on top and jump down on top of Dean Ambrose, Triple H, and Randy Orton while Batista and I just forgot his name. Roman Reigns was in the ring. Of course, we all knew as soon as that they were left in the ring, we knew who was going to win. Go ahead, Chevy. Say it.
That Roman Reigns was going to win?
Yeah, 7-7 move Roman Reigns. Because the more you point that out, the more I see it every single night. I saw it last night, too.
It was a great match, and I love Roman Reigns, but he did about 2 minutes of stuff in that match.
He did. Baker, anything on the Shield versus Evolution? It was a really good match.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I expected in that. The Roland spot come out of nowhere, you know. You got a bit of crazy Dean Ambrose when he attacked them in the timekeeper's booth.
Yeah.
But I was also shocked because I thought that was the main event of the night, and then suddenly, you know, sort of fourth or fifth up, that was doof, they come out, and that was sort of a shock for me, that was. But
yeah, it was for me too. I didn't expect I expected them to be the second up from the main event. I didn't expect. I guess they were the build the crowd back up again, and then we'll let them chill out. Because the next match was Bray versus Cena. And what did you think about that, Baker?
Oh, that was just ridiculous. You knew that the Wyatt family were going to get involved and everything, but it was just the amount of times he tried going over the side of the cage or to the door, and you know, Eric Rowe and that sort of started attacking them back, and it was just. It was messy, it was awkward, slow. The ending was just, I thought, a bit of a cheap rip-off from the Raw the week before. I just didn't really take to it.
Chevy?
I actually liked the way it ended. It would have been better if they had just, if they hadn't done the Raw segment and just had the choir come out during the match. I would have preferred that, but I still liked the ending.
Yeah, I still like the ending too. I'm so tired of John Cena being fucking Superman all the time. I'm so tired of it. I'm tired that when these two huge guys come down and these two huge guys are trying to push the cage door on Cena and Cena is pushing back against these two big guys, it's not fucking possible. It doesn't make any sense. I can't stand it anymore. I'm done. I'm so fucking done with Cena being the Superman all the time and winning with every match he's in. It drives me fucking nuts that he is able to outpower everyone in the entire company, which is bullshit. Everyone knows it's bullshit. And I'm so tired of it. Literally, I was screaming at my TV when he was pushing against the cage door with those two guys pushing against him. I was like, this is so much crap. I'm like, no one believes this anymore. Stop it. Knock it off. Just be a human being. Stop being fucking Superman all the time. Oh, my God. It drives me crazy. Heavy set. What'd you think about Bray and Cena, man? Heavy, you there?
There I was waiting until I got fully in my truck.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. What'd you think about Cena and Bray Wyatt, man, on the at Extreme Rules?
I liked it.
You did? What'd you like about it?
It gave us the predictable ending, but it was, once again, like I've always said, it's all about that journey. And having the doing what they did, it still makes it interesting. It's something they haven't really done many times before, if ever. So I kind of like that part aspect of it.
So you like the kid?
Yeah.
I did like the kid until he started talking backstage. I didn't like the fact that they put him in an interview. I didn't like that. But other than that, I did like the kid coming out. It freaked John Cena out. He was supposed to be on main event tonight. I missed it, but I really did it. I did like the kid, but I'm just tired of Cena being fucking Superman all the time. Now, I will say this. Chevy, you were right. I was wrong. You win the bet.
About this. Yeah. I was confused as to which time you were wrong from last week.
You were right, Chevy. I was wrong. That leaves a bad. I need a swig of beer for the working man, as Stone Cold says.
Honestly, if there's something that I put on John Cena, as in his fault, and not just stuff that he was told to do, is Bray Wyatt did not look good in the ring in this match, and part of that is Bray Wyatt's fault, but John Cena didn't do much work on helping Bray Wyatt look good.
Yeah, he didn't sell at all. Does anybody disagree with that? That he didn't sell at all? Okay, nobody disagrees. All right, moving on. It's just, I don't know. I'm with Heavy Set. I did enjoy the match overall. It did tell a storyline. I'm just tired of Cena being Cena, essentially. I want him to be the regular person that he used to be, like someone that can be beat. It drives me crazy. And then we have the Paige versus Tamina match. Tamina came out with her new music. Tamina, Tamina. Stupid music. And then we all know Paige was going over. We all knew Paige was going over. It was a pretty decent match. Slower than normal. I liked that first when Paige first got in the ring. She was really dodging a lot of Tamina's attacks. She was really jumping and diving around her. I really did enjoy that part. I was like, oh, man, this is kind of neat. It's something different. You know, most divas try to go against other divas straight ahead, and she wasn't. She was really, you know, diving those fists and kicks and stuff that Tamina was throwing out, and eventually she got her, but she got back anyway. Baker, what did you think about Paige versus Tamina, man?
One spot I liked was when Tamina done the sort of like what Cesaro did to Miz, that sort of swing into the side barrier.
I thought that was good. Yeah, I did. I did like that too. Chevy?
Quite like the fact that she actually got quite cleanly onto the submission that she puts on, because a lot of people suspected that she wouldn't been able to do it.
Yeah. She got her just up off the canvas, just a little bit.
So her submission defies logic.
So you liked it? You thought it was good? I thought it was one of the best diva matches we've seen in a pay per view in a long time.
It was still a diva's match.
Yeah, it was. It was still a diva's match. So that'd be a no from Chevy, folks. Heavy set. What'd you think about the Divas match?
I like that we got a real classic battle of David versus Goliath, which they need that. I've always said they need that more in the Divas division, and I was just very pleased to see that, because it was Paige, who was so tiny, and Tamina so big, and like there was points that, you know, we got to see that kind of play out of how things were working, especially with that whole barricade thing. And that's when it brought a smile to my face, because I like seeing like stuff like this. I don't like seeing models versus models all the time.
Yeah.
You need this understory, and I wish WWE, I wish TNA too, would utilize it more, but they both want to go for literally the tits and ass.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think it's good to see something different, although I think they should have really promoted that a lot more before the pay-per-view. I think it would have drawn a lot more responses from Twitter. From what I heard from Twitter, a lot of people in the crowd were saying that there was like, it was like a pin drop in there. Like you could hear everything that they were doing, because not a lot of people were cheering until Paige was like screaming. So I know Tamina brings no one to watch her, but Paige does. I just think they could have done a lot better as far as, you know, maybe some intimidation or some storyline telling. I mean, they had 3 weeks. They could have just done a couple of vignettes of Tamina walking by her, looking at her, or walking up to her and intimidating her or something.
Done their hardest to keep them apart, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean,
she won the, whenever one was on a show, the other one purely only had clips and interviews and stuff.
Exactly.
It should have been Paige had to go through certain matches, and then Tamina would have matches at the same time too, but they needed to be squash matches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, have them go against the same person every week, and no matter what. Like, maybe one's on Raw, the other one's on SmackDown, and have them switch it up. They have, like, that Rosa, because she did have that match against Rosa Mendez Paige, right?
Yeah, she did.
If it would have been, like, okay, that was on Raw, then on SmackDown, Tamina beat her in, like, 15 seconds, a minute.
There you go.
Something like that, just to be like, wow, it took Paige this long to beat her, but it took Tamina only a fraction of the time to beat her. Like, and that could have been built up about it.
Yeah, and then, like, maybe on the pay-per-view, Tamina would have been, like, made a slip mistake or a foot would have slipped or something, and Paige could have taken advantage, and that's, she didn't really beat her, but she did beat her, you know? Something interesting, but instead they didn't do any of that because we know how to tell a story here on the DSJNP.com WrestleCast, and evidently WWE has forgotten. So Daniel versus...
I would say this. I think the story that they're building, though, too, is whenever AJ returns, it's going to be Paige versus AJ. I think it's just all leading up to that point, whether we like it or not.
All right. And when's Paige supposed to come back? Payback? Or was it... What's the next pay-per-view?
I haven't heard anything. I think Payback is the next one. I'm not 100% sure, but I haven't heard anything.
I'm assuming Strike, on the thing that I read. So that would be about Payback, Chicago. That's where she's recently moved to, so that all adds up.
Yeah, we know why she's recently moved there.
I don't know. I feel like if she was going to be at Payback, if they were going to have a match at Payback, then Paige would have made some kind of appearance. Her not making an appearance on Monday Night Raw is a telltale sign that there's not going to be a Divas match.
Well, there was no Divas match on Raw. There was no Divas on Raw this week, which was weird, I thought. Whatever. Final match, Daniel Bryan versus Kane. Baker, give us your rundown of this one, man. What do you think happened? What do you think went well? What didn't go well? Really quick, what you got?
They were trying hard to have the old sort of attitude era feel to it, but that was obviously a very watered-down version. That was a bit, you know, when they got out the back, clustery and that, and... You know, but there were some fun spots. That was, you know, I thought for a one-off match, you know, with all things that happened recently, that was, you know, good sort of solid match. Nothing to get excited about. It's just, unfortunately, it looked like that one's going to continue as well.
Yep, yep. I thought it was actually a pretty good match. Chevy, what do you think?
It was pretty good. The forklift ended up just being something that sounded a lot better on paper than it turned out. It took way too long, and... When Kane wasn't naturally flipped off of it, he had to, like, awkwardly roll himself into a position where he could then let gravity take over.
Yeah, I mean, is that heavy set? What do you think, man? Because I got some stuff to say about this match.
I mean, the only thing that I didn't like about the whole forklift thing is it very much reminded me of Rock and Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Like, that's instantly what I thought. And as soon as I seen the forklift, I was like, okay, the forklift's going to be put into play. I just wasn't sure how. And then they're like, oh, you got to get him back to the ring. I'm like, oh, forklift. But I think the table spot is something that just – my jaw dropped just as soon as they started doing it. I was like, whoa, they're actually going to do this type thing. And I was happy they did it. It was – I don't want to say a nod to the Attitude Era, them trying to bring back the Attitude Era, but I think it was them trying to pull back the whole thing of you never know what's going to happen in the WWE. But I think they're going to try to do it like you never know what's going to happen at a pay-per-view because we're getting off – being on all these pay-per-views, so that them being on their own network, I think they might push, not hardcore like everybody wants, but I think they're going to do some things that we haven't seen in quite some time, or as often.
Well, the other thing is that they didn't really announce a lot of extreme rules or anything that was outside of the normal for the extreme rules pay-per-view, or special event, or whatever they want to call it. There wasn't really anything that, there was a WLC, and then that was pretty much it. Everything else was pretty much a basic match. So to me, it was saying, okay, Shield versus Evolution got way out of control. It went crazy. They were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. That's fine. Cena and Bray Wyatt was a cage match. And then the Bryan and Kane was an Extreme Rules match, which I like. You know, if you're going to call something Extreme Rules, you have to have something that's extreme about it. You can't just have a pay-per-view and call it Payback when there's no payback. Or TLC when there's no tables and ladders chairs match doesn't make any sense. That does to me, that just irritates me. Then don't call it that. Call it something else. I don't give a shit. Just call it something else. So to me, this was the match I didn't want to see. This was the match I didn't care about. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. Now, I will say this. If you're going to hit somebody with the rubber crowbar, don't throw the rubber crowbar on the ground. Because it doesn't make any noise. It looks stupid. Especially when you pick it back up again, Daniel, and then you throw it down again. Okay? It doesn't make any noise. It's ridiculous. Take the crowbar with you and put it in the forklift. Okay? Don't throw it on the ground.
My highlight of the match was when the bloke put Kane out, when the fireman put Kane out. If you rewatch it, he just keeps spraying Kane.
Yeah, he does.
That really goes on to it. Oh, you can actually see Kane go like, fuck off.
Yeah, he does. I'm with Heavyset, though.
Am I the only one that's seen the fire extinguisher spot? It reminded me of Rowdy Piper.
No, absolutely.
I was like, oh, no, Rowdy Piper's working ringside now.
Absolutely. I as soon as I saw the cans of gas underneath the thing, I was like, oh, yes, they're going to light something on fire. That's so cool. That's so different. They haven't done that in so long. So, I mean, that was actually one of the best matches of the night, for me at least, because it was just – I was expecting garbage, and I got better than garbage. I got a meal, you know? So, I don't know.
I was actually thinking going into the fight that it was going to be a – Super Cena type fight where Kane was going to be in control for almost the entire time, doing a lot of damage. And I'm not that I didn't enjoy the back and forth, but I would have appreciated if Daniel Bryan had taken more extreme bumps besides him getting flipped onto the car. Because I mean, the one knack on him is he just doesn't look like he's a very hardcore guy. He doesn't look like he could stand up and just have a flat-out fight with people. And I think that match, and maybe we'll get it at Payback, but I think they could have used that match to try to sell him as a tough guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it still shows him as a tough guy, really. Because, I mean, he did fight Kane in Extreme Rules. He did beat him. I mean, regardless if he put him through a table with fire on it or not. But I don't know. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the overall pay-per-view. I thought it was pretty cool. All right, so moving on. So we're going to go move on to Keep, Toss, or Improve this week. So give me your two, Keep, Toss, or Improve, whichever one you guys want to do. Baker, what you got, man? First up. You're up. You're up first. Keep, Toss, or Improve?
Even though we've literally just talked about him, I'd like to toss the Demon Kane character. It makes me cringe, some of the scenes that's producing at the moment. Because, like, a few weeks ago, he was a clumbersome bloke that was dressed up in a business suit. Now he's going back to an invincible bloke that can be hit with crowbars and get back up. He can be run off cars and stuff, and he gets back up. And it's cringe, and the whole story that it brings, and the way the commentators speak about him, like, oh, my God, the demon's in the building. It's just creating some really bad television at the moment.
It is. I'm gonna wait for that. All right. Well, so you want to toss that? So what do you want to improve or keep?
The keep is gotta be the Mr. T Mother's Day sketch. That was unexpected but genius.
So genius! Oh, that was so funny. I totally forgot about that. Oh my God. I love you, Mama. Thank you, Mama. I want to thank my mother. I want to thank my mother. Thank my mother. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Mother. I love my mother. Oh, my God. That was so genius. Oh, every time I think about it, I keep seeing Stone Cold in the front row busting a gut laughing. Every time I see it, it's so funny. All right. Chevy, what do you got for us this week, Chevy?
I guess I'll keep Sheamus as the U.S. champion. Not that I'm actually convinced that they're really going to try to run hard with a mid-card belt, but if they were, Sheamus is a better choice to do it because he's a guy who a lot of people like, and he puts on a lot of really good matches. His run with the U.S. title before was one of the better runs with it I've seen.
Okay.
I think we've seen in general. And I think Sheamus is kind of needs to be the guy who's holding a belt because the real big knack on him is that he's not good at carrying storylines. His storylines are, hey, I need someone to fight. Hey, you're available. Let's go fight. And having a belt is a really good excuse to get into fights.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. All right. What are you going to toss or improve?
I could take the easy route and say I'm going to toss everything involving Cesaro. Or I'm going to toss the Kane and Cesaro storylines right now. But I actually wanted to talk about the Divas. Because it may not feel like a big deal to some people, but I think not having Paige at all on Raw and which makes me believe especially that she may not be at Payback, which if so, it's going to be awful because she's actually making, for the first time since AJ Lee first took over the belt, and before that, first time in a long time, people are actually caring about a diva and a storyline, and there's interest, and Paige is pretty hot just in terms of like momentum, and not being on Raw just is not good for her momentum.
Yeah,
and
you're
especially
right.
If she does the classic divas thing and isn't in a match at Payback.
I can't see them not putting her in a match at Payback at some point. Like, I can't see her not fighting someone, either Brie or Alicia Fox or somebody, or Natty at Payback, or even Emma. That'd be cool. Having Emma on her at Payback, that'd be cool. Heavy set, man. What are you gonna? What do you want to keep, toss, or improve about the WWE or TNA? Whatever, man. Whatever you feel like talking about.
Man, I gotta call bullshit on that Paige thing, Chevy. Complete bullshit. This is what I like Paige. I think Paige and AJ Lee, I think, are both really, really great wrestlers, but I think they are overrated by the male demographic that watches it because they want to fornicate with them. That's pretty much it. That is what just annoys the shit out of me. People are like, oh yeah, Paige is so great. She is great, but what about the roster that we have here? And if I'm going to improve anything, I'm going to do my favorite thing. I'm going to improve the Divas division. The thing that they need to do, they need to trim that roster.
Really?
They need to get rid of Rosa Mendez, Exana, Alicia Fox, and then they need, and I've said this for such a long time, anybody who's listened to the Week in Review, I've said, like, they need to, like, sign veteran talent. Sign mm-hmm. really good veteran talent. Like, bring back Serena Deeb. That's one of my favorite suggestions. Oh, because she was.
Serena?
Yeah, Serena was really, really good, and she only had got to wrestle one match.
Wow.
And that pissed me off.
All right.
But I've also said, I think Karma, and if they can bring back Mickie James too, I think. You take out those three and plug in those other three that I mentioned, that's a whole new division. That's ways that women like Paige and AJ Lee could really be built to be legit competitors instead of people who can't really wrestle.
Well, I think that's really why they haven't given any of the girls on the Diva show the titles, because they can't wrestle. And I think the IWC would take a shit on it, would totally take a shit on the whole thing and be like, this is just for publicity. This is bullcrap. No, none of them deserve it. The only one that I could say out of any of them that are on the Diva show would be Natty, because she can go.
Natty is one of my favorites, and she obviously would deserve it. I think Brie, too. I think Brie has seeing that show put a bunch of those divas in like a different light for me. Like, I used to hate the Bella Twins and I used to hate the Funkadactyls. Now there's one that I love of both, and then, hey, I hate the other one of them. I think Naomi is good and she's constantly improving, and same with Brie Bella, but I think Nikki and Cameron are kind of trash. I love that Brie is still, she's improving. The fact that it's not just she's married to Daniel Bryan, there's actually like a bit of a work relationship there. Where he's helping her, and if you're gonna have anybody teach you how to become a better wrestler of any of those wrestlers in WWE male roster, that's probably one of the best ones. So if Brie were to get it, or if Natty were to get it from the show, like, people would probably say, "Oh, it's for publicity." But I think a person like Natty deserves it. She's kind of been shit on within that division.
She has.
I mean, come on.
She has. No, she has. Absolutely, she has. I mean, she does more good wrestling on NXT.
I didn't mean it for the pun, but I mean, she was doing that farting gimmick for a while. I mean, you can do no worse than that.
I mean, she's a company, but it's the same thing like Daniel Bryan. She's a company girl, you know? Same thing as Cena. Company, she's a company girl. She'll do anything they ask her to do. It don't matter, as long as she has a job, she'll do anything. She knows her time will come eventually, and she'll get it, and she'll run with it, and she'll be great at it. You know, my thing
it's very much the heart model.
Yeah.
Really,
oh,
when it comes down. To
oh,
it.
Absolutely, absolutely, Heavy. You're absolutely right. Absolutely.
So I've always thought that Natty is going to have a job there, regardless, because she's a heart, and she will do anything. She's devoted to it, and yeah, she'll eventually get her. Whatever, but I don't want them to go, which it almost seems like they're doing. Well, you're on the Total Diva show, what more do you want?
Yeah. No.
I think a girl like her, a woman like her, I mean, they want a legitimate division, and if you would be able to put her in the in a in a position to be a champion and put a division around her. And I mean, just not even just around her, just in the company in general. And that would make the Divas division more relevant. That's I have to like go back to the beginning. It's like, that's why I call bullshit on the whole Paige thing. People are behind her because they really like her, but I'm not saying that she's not a great wrestler. She is the clear gummy bear version / Sheamus version of Natty.
Yeah, she's like the
she's got it running through her family, and hell, her mom still wrestles.
To me, she's kind of the she's straddling two worlds. She's got that diva look where she looks good, but she can also go in the ring, which the other divas don't really have that. Where they don't look as good, they're like Brie, or I mean, I don't really like Brie or either one of them, but they're either a diva. So you have to me, I think she draws the line between the both. And I'm not sure if Natty really follows that diva line. I think she's more of the Tamina line. And I hate to dog her looks or anything, but, you know, she's definitely not a supermodel.
I've always looked at it. There's two types of women in wrestling. You have the girls that look like models, and then you have the girls that don't look like models. And whether you like them or not, I mean, granted, she's not my cup of tea, but, you know, there's probably a guy out there that really loved Nicole Bass when she was around, too.
Yeah.
But she was definitely a grade A, didn't look like a model. China walked a fine line. She went from looking not really not like a model to looking kind of like a model.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can just go through women's wrestling for at least since the 90s. And when I started watching, I remember some of the great feuds. I mean, granted, Alundra Blaze isn't really that hot when you really look at it, like how women in wrestling have evolved. But like, she was going up against women like Bull Nakano and Bertha Faye. So there was contrast. So it was like, okay, this Alundra Blaze, she's the one that looks like kind of like a model. She was the best thing besides Sunny at the time. Going up against these women that were just not.
That's a nice way to put it. It's a nice way to put it, Heavyset. All right. Okay.
The
so then, what do you want to toss or keep? Oh, toss or keep.
Let me see. I actually want them to keep Hornswoggle and El Torito.
You gotta be kidding me!
It needs to be just them two.
Okay. All right.
It really reminds me when there was Doink the Clown and Dink the Clown, and then Jerry Lawler, and then he brought in his little midget. I think his first one was Sleazy. It was very simplistic, and then, I mean, they went a little far when they got, like, three for each, and they created the Survivor Series match, but at least, like, after that, that was it. But any time they try to come up with, like, midget wrestling divisions, that's when it doesn't work well with the product. But if you just have these two, like, I've never thought I would find a 3MB match even somewhat interesting. But even though it was just Hornswoggle as part of it, like, I was like, oh, my God, this is actually, they need to keep these two just for this. They can go off doing other things and whatnot, but they should not try to go for the whole division thing. Just keep the two. One was great before, but it was kind of just like we had the token midget.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have two. Okay, let's keep it there.
Yeah, I mean, I like the two going at each other, but I'm just not sure. I'm not sure where it could go. But we haven't. You're right. I don't. Whenever I saw 3MB on the stage, I didn't care. Whenever I saw Los Matadors, I didn't care. And now I know something is going to happen. When I see those two teams on the stage together, I know something is going to happen, which to me means people are going to watch it. So, all right, my keep is Bray Wyatt. I think Bray Wyatt needs to keep going in the exact direction he's going. He's doing absolutely fine. Essentially, he beat Roman Reigns this week, which I knew he was gonna. But he's doing great. He just needs to keep doing what he's doing. Keep his head down. Keep talking shit. It's just gorgeous what he's doing. And then I'm with Chevy. I think they need to toss turning Cesaro here. I don't think they needed to turn Cesaro heel. I don't believe it was a great way to go with him. They officially turned him heel this week on Raw by just elbowing RVD in the face over and over and over and over again until he got disqualified. And, you know, it's just, there's so many other ways to turn people heel that's more evil, but it just didn't seem right. It didn't seem genuine. He's a nice guy. Let him be a nice guy. It's just bad to me. Anybody want to say anything on that? Nope. Okay. Character in the details this week, we're talking about Batista, guys. So, I mean, look at it. Does anybody want to say anything about Batista? I know Batista's a fun guy to talk about. I know Batista. Essentially, I mean, he was born in D.C. He was born in a really rough neighborhood. At the age of 13, he was stealing automobiles. By the age of 17, he was considered estranged from his own parents. He was sentenced to 1 year of probation after trial for beating up two patrons unconscious at a club. I mean, he had a really, really rough career. He trained at the WCW power plants. He was told he was never going to make it into the wrestling business by Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. I mean, this guy's really come up from nothing. I mean, he was in Ohio Valley Wrestling, which is the original TNA, from 2000 to 2002, which, again, let's see, he went undefeated until being beaten by Christmas Chaos by Kane to help Stone Cold Steve Austin. He later won the OVW Heavyweight Championship from the Machine, Doug Basham, before losing the belt to Prototype, which Prototype is who?
John Cena.
John Cena, heavy set, got it. John Cena. So he debuted as an enforcer for D-Von. He debuted on SmackDown. I mean, everybody knows his career pretty much. He went up, he joined Evolution. As soon as he joined Evolution. But who's the other guy that they were thinking about putting into Evolution, guys, instead of Batista?
I know Mark Jindrak.
Yes, that is correct. I mean, he's had a lot of reigns as championship, as world heavyweight, and WWE championship. Everyone know various storylines. The thing I want to talk about is him exiting the last time we saw him, which his last time we saw him, he literally lost the belt to... I believe it was... I'm trying to find it. Does anybody know who he lost the belt to?
Cena.
He did lose it. Was it Cena?
Yeah, that was the bullshit storyline where he was with Vince McMahon.
Yes.
And John Cena won the Elimination Chamber, and then Vince McMahon comes out, puts him at the pay-per-view, puts him in a match with Batista. Batista hits the Batista bomb and wins the championship, only to have John Cena win it at WrestleMania, of course.
Gotcha. Okay, so he wants John Cena, and then he comes out on Raw and in a wheelchair and says he quits. That's how he leaves. He leaves as a heel. Everyone cheers at him when he leaves, and that's it. And then he returns in 2014 to a myriad of cheers, and then as soon as he hits the Royal Rumble, he gets booed, and he's been booed, and we've been talking about it ever since. So what is it that we're so pissed off about Batista? Now, he did leave to do mixed martial arts. He left to do Strikeforce in Los Angeles 2010, I think previously registered interest in mixed martial arts. He has a 1-0 record in mixed martial arts. He TKO'd Vince Lucero. That's it. He only did one match, and that was it for him. That's it. He's done. So what is it about Batista that pisses us off, guys? Chevy, what is it about Batista that pisses us off?
The first thing is he came back at a time where just people weren't really happy about part-timers who weren't like The Undertaker or Brock Lesnar.
Or The Rock.
Yeah. I think even The Rock, like some people were jaded. And so he had some like grumbling boos. But then whenever the Royal Rumble happened and WWE threw him under a bus, I think everyone was just looking at that point. Everyone was looking for every little tiny detail to hate Batista with.
I would have to agree. Baker, you got anything?
Obviously, that stemmed from how predictable it was looking from him winning at the Royal Rumble. Obviously,
really,
everyone wanted to push.
You're absolutely right, Baker. It really was very predictable. I think everyone that was watching that pay per view was like, "Please no!" But we all knew it was going to happen.
And everyone wanted Brian, and that sort of become fashionable to start booing him. Because like you said, on the first night, he actually got quite good ovation when he come out.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that took off. Everyone started booing him. All the smarks joined in. And then they actually had to totally rewrite everything that was going to happen.
Yep.
And turn him heel a lot earlier than they wanted and everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Heavy, anything to say about Batista? At least a part of his comeback?
I've actually not liked Batista for many, many years. I booed him before he left, before he turned heel. I know at some point at that time I didn't like him. I went to Unforgiven 2008, the last, I think, official Unforgiven they had, which was in Cleveland. I had second row seats, and I booed him then, and he was a face.
So what is it about him that you don't like? What is it about that we don't like about Batista? Why do we not like him?
I don't know why anybody else doesn't like him, but I've looked at him the same way I've looked at John Cena, but I look at this as the worst version of John Cena. because he also he, at the same time he left. I just never liked him. To me, he was the new age version of Ultimate Warrior. And granted, that's like everything that's come out about Ultimate Warrior now and blah blah blah. I think he's a guy that he left at the worst time in the company because people were either dying or leaving the company, like people that they were pushing. So to have him walk out during that time was almost a slap in their face, just adding to it. That's why he's worse than John Cena in my book. I know people who, and this is actually very true. I know this one guy who goes to some of my local indie shows, and the dude is kind of a mark. What I mean by mark is there's a lot of times he talks about things being real. He actually hates one of the wrestlers there because the wrestler supposedly talks shit to him, but he can't, because it's all because he can't separate real from fake.
Huh? Now you're on speaker.
What the heck is going on? My Skype is
I heard it too, so.
Yeah, dude, that was really loud.
Basically, whoever didn't hear it, it was from them.
Sounded like a plane was taken off.
I know. I'm going to have to edit the shit out of this thing tonight.
Did someone hit Curtis Axel's music?
Hang on. Let me.
Batista had such a long run without changing his character.
He did have a long run without changing his character. He did. He really did. Heavyset was making some really good points about Batista, Rocky. So, I mean, he's saying that he never changed. He was pretty much an ass the whole entire time he's been with the company. He's the John Cena, but poor man John Cena, which essentially he's right. I mean, he's pretty much won everything because he looks good. He's muscle bound. He's got a bunch of tattoos. He looks the part. He looks the part. He looks like he's a wrestler. I mean, that's why he gets all the roles he does, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But, I mean, why do we not like, in your mind, why do we not like Batista?
Yeah, I think it's a number of things. One thing that comes across loud and clear to me with Batista, and maybe it's not true, but that certainly rings true, is that he's a disgruntled jerk like CM Punk personality-wise. And that's just not very appealing, I think, to most people. And if you can back that up with spectacular talent in some aspect, it's acceptable. But I don't know. Batista just seems to me to be sort of a notch below the very best. He's certainly above the mid-card, but his promos are not all that spectacular. His character is somewhat interesting. I actually liked him years ago when he and Ray Ray had the big friendship that made him more three-dimensional than he has been since.
Really? You liked him? You liked when he worked with Ray Ray?
Well, I like the three-dimensionality of his character. That was more of a face role, so I didn't like a face role so much for him. But just to have a little bit of personality instead of just this angry, bitter guy who is sort of always in that mode.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I don't like him. I just don't like him. I mean, lately, I know why I don't like him, but I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So, I mean, guys, we know why he really came back. He came back because he's going to bring a lot of eyes to WWE. I mean, he's in movies like The Iron Fist he was in. I didn't even know he was in Riddick. He was recently in Riddick, and then he's coming out in The Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's about to leave to go film, to go do press for Guardians of the Galaxy and film The Avengers, because he's going to be, Guardians of the Galaxy will be in the new Avengers. He's going to be in the Avengers. So a wrestler that we know is going to be in the Avengers, which I think is huge. But he's just a dick. He really is just a dick. And looking at the audience, he's a lot like Randy. When Randy gets mad at the audience, you know, he'll look at him, he'll curse at him and stuff. I mean, it's just annoying. The reason why I didn't like his comeback is because he came back out of shape. Which to me is, you have no reason to be out of shape whatsoever. What have you been doing? You've been sitting on a studio for 12 weeks doing nothing. You should be working out and getting and looking better and getting fit. Instead, you do a horrible backbuster on the stairs on Monday night. That's what you give us. Like one of the weakest backbusters, spine busters I've ever seen in my life. It's just bad. And he's winded after 5 seconds of being in the ring. I just can't imagine him being the champion. It's ridiculous. And Chevy, what were you saying earlier? We were talking earlier, and you were saying that you think WWE blew the whole comeback for him.
No, WWE never should have signed him in the first place. They should have paid more attention and asked him to come in and wrestle for them before they signed him.
Okay, so what's your reason for that?
WWE is at fault. Like, they didn't really know what they had with Batista until they brought him in, and then they realized he sucked. They realized he sucked, and then they shuffled him around. And from there, and I'm glad Batista's leaving, but Batista's getting really pissed off because he's not getting what he wants.
He doesn't deserve the title. He doesn't deserve the title. It's ridiculous. He doesn't deserve the title. Not even close.
But WWE has handled the whole Batista return awfully.
Yeah, absolutely they have. So, heavy set, what's his future, man? What do you think his future is going to be?
I think it's a cross between a Rock and Brock Lesnar schedule of he's going to be back and forth between now and Hollywood. And I will throw this out. I think up until Guardians of the Galaxy, he really did not have an impressive acting career. Like, granted, he was in all these movies, but, like, no one was, like, it was nowhere like how The Rock was. Like, he was getting starring roles in movies. He was getting kind of bit parts here and there. And I think that when he came back, it was just kind of like, well, everything else isn't working out for me. Granted, Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be something, is going to be something huge, and Avengers is definitely going to be something huge, too. Mm-hmm. But, like, other than that, he didn't have shit, and then they find a way to, like, work together. Like, well, this will give me something to do until all that comes out. And WWE's like, well, yeah, you're going to be in the freaking Avengers series, so let's get this shit going.
Yeah.
Biggest thing right now in movies, so.
Pretty much. I mean, you're
but
I know.
After that, I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone again.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he is a lot older than a lot of those guys, man. He's old. He's as old as he's. I think he's even a little bit older than Triple H. He may be, maybe not, but I don't know. Rocky Mountain High, man.
He's in his 40s.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain High. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if you're gonna keep him, he ought to be in a bodyguard kind of a. I'm not sure what you call it. The role where you're not really wrestling much. You're just occasionally brought in to screw up an ending or to beat somebody up backstage or whatever. But you're right. He's not in condition for it. I don't see fans really calling for it. He can just be kind of the roving assassin who is only occasionally on camera for brief moments here and there. But if they wind up parting ways, okay, fine. It was sort of a failed experiment and move on from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Baker, we haven't heard from you.
So the return
a
of Deacon Batista?
Oh, that'd be awesome. The deli. I mean, they did an interview with D-Von a couple weeks. No, not D-Von. D-Von a couple weeks ago on WWE.com, which I was excited about, but he's not coming back. But Baker, man, what do you think about this? What do you think the future of Batista is?
It certainly looks like it's just a relationship of convenience for each other to promote stuff and that. He doesn't look that interested in it. It's like little things like the other week when his microphone dropped, and you know, normally in you know, the stars are quite good at covering stuff like that. He needed Stephanie to bail him out because all he kept shouting out was deal with it, and he really just seems out of condition on everything, out of condition on the mic, out of condition physically. It just, like I said, it's not, he's been better in Evolution, but that's because he's got two others covering up for him. He can take just a, you know, come in for a couple of spots and stuff. Okay. I think I think that was Rocky Mountain High just now said that if he's like a bodyguard role, that might be the best thing for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's 45. I think we could slowly see him transition into maybe like a manager type role or a bodyguard type role. He's not, when he's not winded, he's not horrible on the mic, but he's not great. Chevy, what do you think, man? His future is.
The best situation for everyone involved is for him to go home, not feel stressed out, like get away from wrestling and then not feel stressed out, and then just call Triple H and say, I don't want to come back. Batista is destroying his legacy in the last 4 months.
He really has. You're absolutely right. He really has.
And WWE, unless they suddenly decide that they're going to like run with Evolution for 2 years, I just don't see any real value in Batista, because the only thing that's going to make fans happy is if he's used as just this bad guy who everyone hates and then loses every single pay-per-view. But if that's the case, Batista's never going to come back, because like in the news where Batista doesn't want to verse Daniel Bryan and lose at Payback, he's trying to protect his image because he just seems to... The movies seem to be his number one priority now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're part of the Avengers, I would make it my number one priority too, because that's a huge payday for the next 10 years, 15 years, if they keep you that long. I mean,
yeah, but...
and honestly, I'll be honest with you. I'm a comic book guy. I read comic books. I have a couple of those comic books with the Avengers, with the Guardians of the Galaxy. He does look a lot like Drax. I'm not going to lie. He does. He's pretty much perfect for that damn role. He looks almost exactly like the guy. So I can't, you know, I can't dog him with that. There's a couple incidences. It was funny. Incident with Booker T backstage. I'm sure you guys know about this. He got in a fist fight with Booker T backstage and coming down to Booker T, them both speaking their mind on WWE.com, but it was wrestlers backstage praising Booker T for speaking his mind to Batista about his attitude. Evidently, Batista had a fight system with an attitude idea that Batista considered himself to be better than the rest of the roster due to his main event status and relatively quick climb to achieve it. And then there were steroid allegations. In August 2007, Batista was accused of anabolic steroids use after an ESPN article released the names of wrestlers that claimed Signature Pharmacy, Orlando, Florida. One of the pharmacists investigated filing illegal prescription drugs. Batista released a statement denying ESPN's allegations. And then he stated that test regularly by WWE and I am in full compliance with WWE wellness program. WWE reportedly suspended 10 wrestlers named the controversy, though Batista was not one of them. So a lot of people say steroids, probably in the past, but I don't think now. I mean, they're so tough for those testing now. His future, I don't think his future is very bright at this point. I think Chevy hit it right on the head as far as he's ruined his legacy at this point when he came back like that. I think he should have came back in more of a managerial role, taken maybe an NXT guy under his wing and run with that instead of trying to be the next WWE World Heavyweight Champion, because I don't think it's going to happen. I think that's why he's pissed. Commentators say the dumbest shit. Does anybody have anything to say about this before I start on my three? Because I only got three this week. They're actually relatively pretty good. Anybody have anything on commentators say the dumbest shit? Rocky Mountain High?
No. You know, I watched Extreme Rules yesterday, and then I just finished up most of Raw today. Mm-hmm. And JBL actually had a few pretty good zingers in there. I wish I could remember them, but I thought he was in rare form.
He did, yeah. I thought they were pretty good, actually. They talked about most of the matches that were going on in the ring at the time. They didn't really stray very much. That was pretty good. Chevy, you got anything?
Not from Raw, but I watched something from when JBL was first getting into commentary. And honestly, him and Michael Cole worked a lot better when Michael Cole was putting over the heels and JBL was putting over the faces.
So you're saying they worked better when they switched up, when Michael Cole was the heel?
Yeah, ever since JBL's been backing the heels and saying shit about all the faces, it's just the booth has gone downhill.
Yeah, they made that switch after Cole got beat at WrestleMania. Yeah. Heavy said, you got anything? Can you think of anything on top of your head? Commentators say the dumbest shit.
No, I think the only time I really listened to the commentators was when it was the midget commentators, which
that was
they
funny.
Need to come back, even if it's for a short amount of time.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. They had three midget commentators that represented each one of the bigger commentators at ringside for the Wii TLC match. I thought that was funny. And one of those guys was really good. So I think they should really bring him back, at least one of them. But yeah, Baker, what do you think, man? Anything you got on this?
There was one spot I remember from commentary. It's not a major one, but it was during the El Torito bit when he threw the candy in the same spot for the second bit. And Michael Cole got stupidly angry about it.
He did. He really did. So three things during the El Torito match. I know when the Three Stooges had appeared on TV, 1934, because JBL said so. Now, there was one thing that King said that I thought was hilarious, and I really enjoy some of the stuff that he says, but the King said about Lana, if that skirt gets any shorter, that would be a collar. And I thought that was so funny, because it's so true. Her skirt is so short. Who had a real... Oh, Stacey Keibler had the shortest skirt ever on Raw. Holy crap. And then JBL talking about Brie Bella being with Daniel Bryan and worried about Kane. JBL said, don't bring your wife to work. Cole said, dude, she works here. And he's like, and he was kind of stunned. He was kind of stunned after that. He's like, yeah, well, then don't bring her to the ring, man.
Jerry Lawler went silent for 5 minutes after that.
Yeah, he did.
I don't think he took that joke very well.
I don't think he did either. Rocky Mountain High, you got anything to say about that? I heard you laughing.
Yeah, no, it just reminded me of that incident. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the commentary for the first time ever in a long time during Extreme Rules. It was much better than Raw. They spent a lot more time calling the match and having fun as opposed to shilling and sort of pointlessly feuding with each other.
Yeah, I kept for some reason on Extreme Rules, I kept expecting them to go to a commercial every second. They set a move or something. I was like, oh crap, I'm gonna go to a commercial, and then they wouldn't. I was freaked out. Anyway, best of the week this week, guys. We're gonna go down heavy set since we're gonna call on you. What do you think was the best of the week? Could be anything. Doesn't have to be Raw. Doesn't be Extreme Rules. Could be TNA. Whatever you want to throw out. Best of the week, you think? Could tip your hat to him. Did we lose heavy? No, he's still here.
Come back to me. I got to think about that one.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Chevy, best of the week.
Ryan,
come back to me.
I will.
Let me think about that one.
I will. I'm going to come back.
I forgot to say it last week, but just the news that David Benoit is going to wrestle a tag team match with Chavo Guerrero for his first match in wrestling. And I think it's just really cool that David Benoit is not afraid of wrestling with just the shit he's given up. For those who don't know, he is the son of Chris Benoit from his first marriage. And unfortunately, I don't think WWE will ever hire him. But I really hope that he's given an honest run and people just let him be himself, not the son of his father. And it would be cooler if Eddie Guerrero was still alive and Eddie could wrestle this match. But I think it's cool that we're going to see Benoit and Guerrero wrestle with each other again.
That's really cool, Chevy. That's really cool, man. Okay. Yeah. I mean, they could give him a shot, you know. I mean, you can't pass the sins of the father onto the sins of the son onto the son. That's not cool. But yeah, I mean, you're probably right. They probably won't ever give him a shot. But I think it'd be really cool if they brought him in, maybe as somebody else, you know, maybe his mother's name instead of the Benoit name. I think that'd be pretty cool. Anyway, Rocky Mountain High, best of the week, man.
I have two, actually. The first was the Shield versus the Wyatts match from Raw. Which turned out to be a highlight reel for Seth.
Yeah.
I just really enjoyed
crazy,
that match.
He did that crazy flip in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, he did a couple of those kind of things. He was in somersault mode in three or four different spots. So I just thought the whole match was good, but except for the ending where Evolution came in and you know, tore it up. But but that was great. Seth was especially good, and their highlighting of him was well done. The other is there was some shoot news today about WWE possibly fudging the numbers in their books and class action lawsuit of stockholders and stuff. Some real world financial shenanigans, possibly. Nothing's proven yet, but this is going to be really entertaining and it's going to last a long time. It could be a really good real world storyline.
Did they say if they fudged it for good or for bad?
For good to juice the stock price up. That's the implication anyway.
Really?
I had seen something that said they were lowballing it because they wanted to buy because the McMahons wanted to buy up shares, but that must be wrong.
What's that about, Rocky? What's it about?
The stock is valued, of course, based on projected earnings, and a lot of the projections of earnings are based off things like subscription numbers and pay-per-view buys and you know, many factors, right? The analysts grind all these numbers and try to predict what the earnings will be next quarter, and that drives the price. Well, from what I heard, and I only heard this once, I haven't gone and researched it anymore, the allegation is that they put out some artificially good numbers to juice the stock price up, and that now, when the next set of numbers is coming out, it's starting to look like a bunch of shareholders bought at comparatively high share prices and got stung because it never should have been valued that high.
I'm not seeing anything on this.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday. Chevy, did you hear it?
I heard rumblings of it last week. It was bigger yesterday.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? I heard it on MLW, one of the MLW podcasts. They were talking about it.
Because I just looked it up. I was like, WWE subscriber numbers. I can't find anything about it. Heavy, you said
the class action lawsuit because that came out. The class action lawsuit, all the details came out from that last week because it was kind of talked about on Spanish Announce Table.
Okay, While I'm doing that, Baker, what you got, man? What's the best of the week?
It's a hard one because I've made no secret that I think that the last Raw or two have been disappointing. But there is one thing that's interested me, is the Sheamus heel turn. Because I think there is a real lack of like A-plus heels in the company at the moment. And unfortunately for Daniel Bryan, actually all three of them are involved in the Evolution storyline. So now that they've started putting the slow heel turn on Sheamus, with him winning the belt off Ambrose and getting a little bit of heat from the crowd, at least that will give someone else to get some heat in the company, which I think very few can actually do at the moment.
Okay.
Well, especially when two of the better heels are getting huge pops with Bray Wyatt and Wade Barrett.
Mm.
All right. My best of the week is... Oh, Heavy, go ahead.
I'll just throw in there real quick before I do mine. Was I the only one that kind of like scratched my head for a second, like in the middle of the pay-per-view, and or maybe it was the after show, I think it was. Sheamus was talking about Daniel Bryan. He's like, yeah, he's one of the toughest competitors I went up for winning against. And I was like, you beat him in 18 seconds. How is he one of the, like, grant, like, I know, like the talk and stuff, but it's like, dude, you have a match against him in 18 seconds. I wouldn't exactly say he's your toughest competitor ever, but that was just me.
All right. What's your best of the week this week?
My best of the week actually is a video that I just watched today that WWE put out that I think every wrestling fan needs to go watch. It's about the Daniel Bryan fan, who the little kid who was granted a wish. He was from Pittsburgh.
Oh my god!
And he died right after WrestleMania. Oh my god! The story.
I just watched that video.
Yeah, like if you're a wrestling fan, like you I'll openly admit, like a tear rolled down my eye at the end of that. That was touching, and that's one of the things that I love about being a wrestling fan. It's, you know, people can say what they want about the sport, but it's like, look at the people that are behind this and the things that they do and how they were talking to this kid. And it's probably some of the greatest human beings are in wrestling.
I agree. I totally agree with that. I saw that and I was like, holy crap. I was literally crying. I was like, because Katai sent it to me on GroupMe. He was like, you got to watch this. You're crying. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll cry my ass. And I watched that thing and I was bawling. Like, when Stephanie started crying, I was like, this is so sad because you know he's dead. So bad. Anyway, so that was a good hit. Heavy set. It was good. I'm not finding really anything on this. WWE issued a following statement of Pro Wrestling Net today concerning the press release from Shareholders Foundation. Investigation has begun concerning WWE stock. They claim the shareholders fucking hate pop-up ads. Go away. Shareholders Foundation is allegedly investigating has absolutely no substance or merit. Short slant. To recap those who might have missed the story, the original story, Shareholders Foundation, a group that monitors class action investigations and lawsuits, issued a press release stating that an unnamed law firm was investigating WWE for potential violations that could impact stockholders. The release is very vague and further investigation failed to turn up any more information at this time. It should also be noted that a civil situation and not a criminal investigation against the WWE. So right now, we're not even sure if there is actually a class action lawsuit right now. It's saying that a law firm is investigating them, which means nothing. Do I have that right so far? This is from theprowrestling.net. Does everybody agree with that? Everybody who's ready?
Yeah, from what you just read, yeah, it sounds like a rumor of a rumor.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder if somebody leaked that to try to push down the stock price so they could go jump in.
That's what it sounds like to me. Either way, Chevy, the stock's going back up, buddy. Chevy and I had a knockdown, drag-out fight earlier today about what the implications of the network are compared to the stock and stuff like that. My best of the week was actually Daniel Bryan versus Kane at Extreme Rules. And I say that because, I wasn't looking forward to this match. And they shocked me by how kind of aggressive they were. And they're breaking windows, punching things. Used a crowbar. Granted, it was a rubber crowbar, but they still used a crowbar. I thought the match was really cool. As Heavyset said, put some gas on a table, lit that sumbitch up, put Kane through a table on fire. I thought it was really, really cool. Really, really impressed. So moving on to the next segment, is anybody watching the network? And what are you watching on the network? Like, what's piqued your interest? Baker, do you have the network?
I took Rocky Mountain High's advice last week and done the old VPN trick, so I've been watching it tonight.
Boom! Baker got the network, folks. So what are you watching?
Yay.
I watched Full Brawl 96 because I heard a rumor earlier that they're going to bring back the old War Games for Battleground because of the Seaton chart.
Okay.
And War Games is basically Hell in a Cell mixed with Survivor Series, sort of group tag, and they've got two rings. And so I watched that basically to see what I'd be like if that could transfer in through to today's WWE. So, yeah, really, I really actually hope that that sort of comes true, but I think that's just a rumor that someone's made up.
Very cool.
It's not even a rumor. It's just that fans wanted it, and fans said they should do it. And they found one stadium there. They were like, technically, they believed they could fit it, but when they released the seating chart for it, and they're only showing enough space for one ring.
Yeah, that's the problem with WCW. They didn't care about that stuff. They didn't care about selling out an arena. They cared about making a dumb match. Anyway, Chevy, what are you watching on the network this week, man?
Only thing I've watched in the last week was NXT.
Okay, how was NXT? Because I need to catch up on NXT. How was NXT?
It was decent. I'm kind of just hitting a breaking point where I hate the NXT crowd.
Really? Why?
Because first off, their favorite thing to do is the yes chant for a guy who hasn't done NXT in forever.
Okay. What else? And
during Bo Dallas's match, they were doing, they were singing "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands."
That's funny. I don't care what you say. That is funny. We talked about that last week. If you don't know why that's funny, go listen. Go ahead, Chevy.
It's not funny to Bo Dallas. It means they're not taking. They don't take any of the heels seriously. Heels don't get booed. They just get silence.
I still think it's funny.
And they got so like I've stopped like crediting like getting over with the NXT crowd as counting as anything because they seem to be almost as dumb as some of the crowds that TNA has been drawing recently.
Of course, they're as dumb as the TNA crowds. They're all dumb. That crowd they were at this week on Raw was horrible. It was horrendous. It was it was so bad. They cheered CM Punk at one time for the Bad News Barrett and Big E match, which was a great match. It was a really good match, and they're cheering CM Punk in the middle of it. Man, fuck you, crowds. I want us to stay in Chicago all the time because at least Chicago gives us a good damn crowd. Shit.
The NXT crowd defined what the crowd dancing with Emma is going to look like. And it's actually not the dance if you actually compare what Emma's doing to what the crowd is doing.
I know, it's not even close. Emma is very uncoordinated, and she makes sure she's uncoordinated, and the crowd is very coordinated. They actually dance, and she doesn't. She's very weird.
Well, the crowd is doing like a stiff, like really basic dance, and Emma has this weird thing where she's like moving her shoulder to like the opposite side as she does it.
Yeah, that's what she because she does it because she wants everyone to believe that she's like very uncoordinated and when she's not. But anyway, so NXT, you just tired of the NXT crowd? Do you think they need to redo their crowd?
I'm gonna be honest. If they don't bring in more interesting people, like after the summer when Bo Dallas is gone, The Ascension is gone, Sami Zayn is gone, Adam Rose is gone, Emma's gone, Paige is gone. They don't bring in more interesting people or get better people from the WWE to wrestle there instead of Brodus Clay and the Great Khali, that I'm probably gonna be done watching NXT for a while.
Okay, all right. Rocky Mountain High. What you got? What did you watch on the network this week, man?
Well, first comment is I'm surprised how little I watch on the network. It's still certainly worth the $10. But I think this week I only watched Extreme Rules, which was great. And I watched, I think, all four episodes or installments of the Best of the Hall of Fame inductions. But I'll tell you, I forgot to list this during the best of. What I've been spending my time watching instead of the network is this Wrestling from Hollywood.
Yeah, you forgot to mention this last week. Yeah, go ahead and tell us all about that.
Oh, man, it's great. It's to me, it's this interesting combination of 60s and 70s style kind of old school minimalist production with the cheesy graphics on the screen. And mostly what the graphics are doing is advertising the next 500-seat show in the next little town or whatever. and you'll have guys doing a promo just in front of a curtain with a microphone, no glitz or glamour. But the wrestling is excellent. The commentary is excellent, 100 times better than WWE, the commentary. I sort of miss the pyro and the, you know, the big LED walls and that kind of stuff. But on balance, I'm just enjoying the hell out of it. It's been great.
Okay. Heavy, are you watching anything on the network this week?
Only thing I got to watch was TLC. One thing about being on the road is if I watch something on the network, it's going to eat the shit out of my data. When I watched Extreme Rules, did I say TLC?
Yeah, you said TLC.
I said TLC. Well, I was thinking WLC for a second. Yeah. But when I watch Extreme Rules and I look at my data afterwards, I think I ate through like 3 gigabytes, and I think I'm on 20 per month.
Dad, you got more than me, man.
So I was like, I have to because I'm on the road like majority of the month. So it's like I'm only going to really get to really enjoy the network when I'm at home. But yeah, I don't think I got to watch. I was going to be like, yeah, I got to watch Slam City. Oh, no, I got to watch the WLC. Never mind.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to what I'm watching on the pay-per-view this week is I'm watching a bunch of hardcore stuff because Extreme Rules got me excited about hardcore. So I'm trying to watch as much hardcore as I can. So in that case, I'm watching ECW. And I haven't seen a lot of this ECW stuff, so a lot of this stuff is brand new to me. I know you guys have, a lot of you have seen it. I've barely seen any of that stuff. So I really enjoyed it. I've watched two of the Legends House now. I thought they were pretty funny. You learn during the Legends House that Tony Atlas is a flaming butthole, and he's not very smart. So anyway, if you guys agree with me, you don't. I don't care, but that's the way I see it. Hacksaw Jim Duggan is a nice guy, but whatever. So we're going to go to...
Pat Patterson with the flaming butthole.
Yeah, Pat Patterson is a flaming butthole, but we all know Pat Patterson is a flaming butthole.
I'm looking forward to watching the Chippendales episode and seeing him get all excited.
Me too.
You know Kenny King's on that episode.
Oh, really? Kenny King?
Yeah, you know Kenny King's a Chippendale dancer, right? No. In real life.
No, I didn't know that.
I was reading it. He wasn't signed to TNA at the time when they shot the episode. And they didn't worry about it enough to make him sign something or whatever. So, yeah, Kenny King's on the episode.
That's so funny.
That's what WWE gets for filming something 2 years ahead of time.
For real.
And then, like, not covering any bases for it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're lucky one of these guys didn't die. Because, granted, would you really look at it? It's like they could have called it retirement home.
Mean Gene very well could have died.
I'm skipping the Chippendale episode. I have no interest in seeing those guys do the Chippendale stuff.
The hell? Who's playing music? Who the hell is playing music?
Not me.
Stupid Brits.
Who's playing music?
This is exactly why we're creating this.
Oh my god, it's a freaking ad. Son of a bitch. It's an ad. I was like, what the fuck is going
on?
Yes, it was an ad on that stupid website I was on. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I'm leaving all this shit. I don't care.
I'm still blaming it on the Brit.
Yeah, blame it on the guy who's not in the United States. Go ahead.
Wayne's been pretty marginalized over there. He's getting even.
I know. Rocky Mountain Heights, go to Free For All, man. Anything you want to rant about, and then we'll go to Baker after that.
No, I want to hear from Baker. I've kind of said my piece here.
What do you want to hear from me on?
Free For All, whatever you want to talk about.
I don't really have a lot to say this week, to be honest. If you give me a couple more minutes.
Oh, I do have one question for you, Wayne.
Yeah?
And that is regarding you signing up for the network through the VPN, et cetera. How difficult was that, and how's the performance been?
That was obviously easy to sign up and get through and everything, but my laptop for some reason won't play the videos. And it's 50-50 whether or not my iPad and iPhone log on. But when they do, then it works perfectly. I don't know what the issue is with that, but when they log on everything, then the whole network's fully functional.
Okay, so good. So it sounds like there's... Probably just have to discover the solution, and then you're off to the races. That's good.
The only thing I can think of is that if I've pretty much got to turn everything, if there's anything connected to the internet onto my router, that I find if there's nothing else connected, it works more often than not. If there's anything else on there, so I don't know if that's anything to do with the VPN speed or.
All right. Was that a question to Rocky?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Rocky, is that anything to do with the
VPN? Yeah, you and I can take that offline.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're doing technical support offline, Baker. Sorry. if you want technical support, you have to pay for it. I apologize. All right. Speaking of technical support, you know, today, it was the other day, I was like, you know, I've been really good. I was listening to a couple podcasts and listening to a couple guys that keep all their flaws in, how they're messing up. And one thing I'm like, man, we've been pretty good. We really haven't had any problems. Holy shit, did I jinx myself this week? Oh my God, I've had nothing but problems this week. I don't know what the hell is going on. Anyway, Chevy, what do you want to vent about, man? You got anything you want to say, or good or bad, whatever?
I already talked to you about this before the show, but last week when you told me that Roman Reigns had 9 tackles in the NFL.
You're such a dick. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You got things happen in threes, and you were wrong in 3 different ways. That Roman Reigns' 9 tackles were in Canada, which brings up the issue of how did he play in Canada and only get 9 tackles?
Okay. All right. Heavy set. What do you think, man? What do you have anything to say today? Anything you want to vent about?
I just want to say that everybody needs to get off of hating on Cesaro's new theme, because it sounds like Rob Zombie to me. And it really reminds me of that rock theme that CM Punk used to have. It just really reminds me of that.
Does it? Does it really?
We're calling you out, Megan.
He doesn't listen.
we'll find out.
Hey, I must say, though, Cesaro's heel turn where he beat that guy up in that match.
RVD.
Yeah, that was awesome. And that was a great spot, too, when RVD took that bump on the trash can at the end and then showed up on Raw the next day with his face all cut up. That was awesome.
Yep, that was awesome. That was very awesome. All right, so I got a couple things I want to talk about this week. Stephanie has just been on it with those promos with Daniel Bryan and Brie. She has been on it. It's been totally like, you know I'm screwing you, right? You know I'm going to get you beat up, right? Yeah. That heavy hand again. Damn it. That heavy hand that I have. She's just been so good about it, where it's been like, it's like that fake caring, you know, yeah, you guys need to stay here and be safe, or you need to go here and be safe. And I've really enjoyed her promos lately. They've been really spot on. Anybody want to say anything about that?
I like to give her a heavy hand, if you know what I mean.
About that little boy too, Heavy.
I'm the biggest Stephanie mark in the world, I think, and yet I have not enjoyed this last week or so of her promos.
Really?
I don't know why, if it's just too over the top or what, but I loved her for the last month or so leading into this, and now it's just not doing it for me. I don't know why.
It's supposed to be over the top, though.
Yeah, and complete with the clown makeup and all that. Yeah, anyway.
All right. Baker, Chevy, you guys got anything to say about Stephanie? No?
I just don't like that whole storyline at the moment. I think just going to the horror film.
You and Chevy both are like, fuck that storyline.
You've got Brie Bella, so you're already at a bad storyline. You've got Daniel Bryan just versing a guy too far down the heel rung for me personally. And I don't know. I don't like horror movies. Not that I'm like scared or something. I mean, sure, yeah, I get scared of some of them, but like, I just don't enjoy, like, some people do, but I don't enjoy like being frightened or being unsettled. And Kane, and this isn't the first time he's had one, but when Kane's stories are unsettling, I just don't like them.
You don't buy it.
I don't like Lita carrying Demon Spawn.
All that shit cracks me up.
I'm so glad Kane is back to the monster. It's, to me, that's been a huge improvement. You know, in terms of getting him out of the suit and back into the mask, the But I thought the business with that whole car thing was awful. It was just so badly done. Oh, my God.
My turn is, and Chevy knows exactly what I'm talking about because I tweeted about it all fucking night last night. Brie Bella is the worst actress I have ever seen in my entire life, ever, ever, ever. Worse than Paris Hilton, ever. That scream and the Daniel and the running away and the ring like last week and the, oh my, the get him away from me and the batting cane like she's a kitten. And the whole thing would be so much better if it was just Daniel Bryan. I hate to say it too, but it would be. And I understand that Brie is the whole center point of the whole thing and he's trying to get to Brie to get to Daniel. I get it. I get the whole thing. She is just bad. She's so bad. I don't know how many takes she takes on the Divas TV show, but it must be a fucking million because she is so horrible at oh my, I can't talk about it anymore of how bad she is about of screaming and being in danger and not crying over the fact that her husband is getting beat the shit out of. It doesn't make sense to me. She's just bad at it. She needs to stop. They need to take her, remove her from the whole situation. Hell, bring in her sister because her sister is a better actor. Just substitute them. You can't tell the damn difference anyway. I'm a twin. I know. It's just, it's all bad. The whole thing is bad. Just, oh my God. Anybody else want to say anything?
You can tell the difference.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, granted, you might have a twin, but does one of you have breast implants and the other one don't? Because that would be a really big tell.
That's a good point. Have you said? I forgot about, yeah, like, I forgot you can tell the difference between the two. I'm just saying, man, it's just really bad. It's just, oh, I can't say anything. I don't even know what else to say about it. It's not good.
But if you're Daniel Bryan, can you tell your new wife, hey, I love you, but you're out of my storyline?
Yes, you can, because business is business, and making money is making money.
You've never been married. You can't.
No, I haven't never been married. That's probably why, because I won't let my bitch be in my storyline. How about that?
Wow. There goes any chance of it ever happening.
Baker, you got anything to say about Brie Bella's? Oh, sorry, Brie Bryan's awesome acting?
Like I said, it's the whole storyline. That's not creepy, unsettling. With the like, even like the mask on the light
oh
looked like
God.
A nightlight.
So stupid.
And just the whole thing of the car and like Kane, whenever he gets his hands on Brie, don't actually do anything with her. They just sort of sit there holding each other, like staring while the other one screams. It's just.
It is. It's bad.
And the cameraman in the back seat of the car was a nice touch.
Yeah. It's just so bad. All of it's bad. Anyway.
I said I was fully supportive of it when it was a 1 month thing. I was on here last week and I said, yeah, I can understand why they've done it. You know, shame they didn't draw in their team hell no stuff.
Yeah.
And I could fully understand it. It served a purpose. It got him through a month and that. But I really can't believe that they're going to go another month with the three top matches the same.
I have to say, it is weird to think, and I was watching last year's Extreme Rules before I watched this year's Extreme Rules. It is weird to think that they lost the titles last year to the Shield. Team Hell No lost the titles last year to the Shield. That's very weird to think that they were together last year at Extreme Rules. That's very weird to me to see how far they've come. And they're not mentioning it.
You know, this Kane and Brie thing is kind of reminiscent of TNA to me. It's kind of that level of unprofessional kind of production.
It's not sexual harassment. Do you think it's sexual harassment?
But I'll tell you what, you know, to go back to what we were talking about, Batista in the bodyguard role or whatever, you know, it's too bad he's a heel because that could be a role for him, right? To go hunt down and contain Kane. He could be the guy that would do that. But
yeah, but now you just made Kane a face because he's going against Batista.
I was going to say, yeah, that's why I said it's too bad Batista is a heel, because you'd have to put Batista in the face role to try to rein in the monster.
He's never going to be face again.
Evie, you got anything else to say?
I think he's done quick.
Yeah, he's definitely done. Unless he doesn't have the personality like Rock to turn it around. Heavy set, you got anything else to say about Brie Bella?
Nah.
I'm keeping that in. All right, I wanted to end on a couple notes. I want to thank all you guys once again for joining me this week. I greatly appreciate it. heavy set. Follow him on Twitter, DSJNP, please. You got Chevy, follow him on Twitter. Wayne is a baker, follow him on Twitter. And Rocky Mountain High, follow them on Twitter. I'll post in post their links in the comments below. I want to say one thing. I want to end on a more of a positive note. Kofi and Rusev had a very good match this week.
We didn't talk about Rusev.
We didn't talk about Rusev, but I want to talk about Rusev real quick. Kofi and Rusev, I like that match. The other thing is, and I know Rocky Mountain High is going to jump on this, coming out with it's Putin, right? I always forget his name. Yeah, it's Putin. Putin. Thank you. Putin. Like Putini, but Putin. Putin on the Titantron talking about how her president is better than our president, is better than our government, gave them so much heat during Extreme Rules and Raw. Genius. McMahon is a genius. Genius. So, Rocky, I want to give you a couple seconds to talk about that, because I know you're the one that likes to talk about the current things that McMahon brings in.
Devil, you are a generous man, because I've been praising Vince about this political storyline for some weeks now, and they're amping it up. They even threw in an Edward Snowden reference.
They did, and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. I think they're right on the edge of overdoing it, even by their standards, but it's been brilliant so far. And thank you for bringing up this thing with Kofi, because I'm not normally a big fan of something like that. On paper, it looks like a disaster, but I thought they really did it well and had Kofi hang with him for quite a while.
They did.
Worked. It was much better match than I thought it would be.
Absolutely. I thought it was going to be another squash match, and I was like, eh, whatever, and I got on my phone tweeting about it, and I was like, holy crap, this is actually a pretty good match. Heavyset, you got anything to say about that match?
I didn't get to see the match because I haven't watched Raw yet, but I will mention this about the whole Putin thing. If I was actually watching the pay-per-view with somebody, I would have stated out loud to them, Vladimir Putin, before they even, like, revealed who it was. Because I'm like, she's not talking about Rusev. And the first person came to my mind, I was like, Vladimir Putin. And then when it came to be, like, they showed him, and I'm like, no way.
Yeah. that's pretty, like, on the line of them right now. Because, you know, they're invading another country and taking over, so... The WWE, then that's pretty political for them to do that stuff. I think it's cool. It's cool. Chevy, anything to say about that?
I would have enjoyed it if they had like a backstage segment where they had like Rusev was going to take a vote to decide if he was going to stay Bulgarian or join Russia, and you have Santino come out wearing like a Bulgarian flag around his shoulders and try to convince him to stay Bulgarian, and then Lana comes out as the Russian.
Well, being the smart one of the bunch and being abroad, I'm going to give it to Baker because he's from England, so he should know more about political ramifications than we do because we're dumb Americans. So, Baker, what do you got to say about this?
I was actually really shocked that WWE actually touched on it.
Hang on. You guys noticed Baker didn't question me at all about dumb Americans, right? You guys did notice that, right? All of you did notice? Okay, I just want to say, okay, Baker, what do you got to say?
I was really shocked that they even touched on it, because it is, I don't know how it's coming over there, but over here, it's literally on the news, that's the main headline, everything about Russia and Ukraine and that, and really surprised that WWE touched on it. But I'm getting the feeling that they're going to do it every episode now, because the way they've done it on Raw, I could see it being done on SmackDown again, and that will just lose its effect every time that they do it.
And the crowd buys into it, screaming USA the whole time. Like, we have anything to do with that at all? I don't...
They just need to mimic, like, whatever's going on. Like, if Russia claims some territory, then, like, Rusev, like, needs to, like, mark out, like, part of the ring that's his. It's, like, the whole...
Mine,
like,
mine.
The whole Raw, you have, like, the Russian flag over one of, like, the ring corners, and Rusev is, like, attacks anyone who tries to take it down.
I take this corner for Russia.
Did you hear the news about him today?
No, what was it?
He's the most recent person to lose part of his name. They dropped Alexander.
Well, you knew that was going to happen. It's the same thing. It's just like Cesaro. You don't need Antonio Cesaro.
I way prefer Alexander Rusev to Rusev.
We all call him Rusev. No one calls him Alexander.
I still like I call Roman Reigns Reigns.
Yeah, exactly. Wait till he gets on his own. You're going to start calling him Reigns.
Doesn't mean you can't leave the other half of the name there.
I'm just saying. All right, anybody any last words? You want to say something? Oh, I do. I want to say something real quick. I want to thank all you guys, because that's your last words. You're done. I want to thank all of you guys for joining me again this week. Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. If you haven't, you need to, please, I'm begging you, please contact your representative and tell them you want a open and free internet. You want them to make sure net neutrality, okay? You want an open and free internet. If this goes through, you will be paying for certain subscriptions to the internet. It is a bad thing. You do not want this to happen. You have to tell your representative that you want an open and free internet, or you're going to be paying things like YouTube and Hulu and Twitter and other things that are already free. Facebook, that's what you're going to have to do. You have to make sure you tell your representative to vote for a open and free internet. All right? Everybody understand that? Once again, thank you guys. I greatly appreciate it. Have a great week.
If you have a topic that you would like discussed on the DSJNP podcast, if you would like to hear your voice heard, please send a short email to dsjnp.com@gmail.com. One of us will read it, hopefully DV, because I will be belligerent if I read it.
Please email us. Let us know what you think. Thank you. What the rock? Yeah. And that's the bottom line.